This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Information discussed in this podcast may be sensitive in nature to some listeners. Listener discretion is advised. Samantha Sperry gave the best hugs. That's what her friends and family will tell you. She was a hugger. Samantha is also described as athletic and stubborn, and a girl who had a penchant for cheesecake. Her favorite television show was the sitcom Roseanne, and she loved her friends and family. And everyone loved Samantha. Growing up in rural Kentucky did have its challenges. As an older teenager, Samantha did some dabbling in drugs. She was back and forth with it a bit, but her family had high hopes that she would beat it. By the time she was 19 years old, she was out of rehab and staying sober for the next 6 years. In 2018, Samantha was living in Murray, Kentucky. She was also now dating a man named Wren Hendrickson, something that her friends and family were less than thrilled about. At this time, however, Samantha is 25 years old and she had to make her own choices. It's worth noting at this time also, Samantha is going through a divorce and is also a mother to two young children. On March 27th, 2018, Samantha and her boyfriend had an argument. They were at Wren's father's house in Kaler, Kentucky, and Wren stormed off, got into Samantha's car, and left, leaving Samantha at the home with his father, Dusty. He'd later say that he saw Samantha go off into the woods and watched Dusty following behind her on an ATV. This was the last time he said he saw Samantha. That was the last day, in fact, that anyone, other than Dusty, saw or heard from Samantha. She had completely vanished. Where is Samantha Rose Sperry? Hello, and welcome back to the Where Are They podcast and another unsolved missing persons story. This story will take us to Kentucky and back to 2018 when a young woman vanishes under very mysterious and suspicious circumstances. Thank you so much for being here, for supporting our mission, which is to share as many missing people stories as possible. Every missing person story needs our attention. A big thank you also to Amber for suggesting Samantha's story to me. I knew we had to cover her story and help get her name out there as soon as I started reading about it. If you have any case suggestions for us or any feedback for us on this case, please feel free to send me a message over on social media or email me anytime. All of that contact information can be found in the show notes or on our website at wherearethepodcast.com. I also want to give a huge welcome to our newest Patreon member this week, Christina. Your support is so greatly appreciated, and I hope you'll enjoy our bonus content over there. Now let's get right into Samantha's story. Samantha Rose Sperry was born on August 20th, 1992. She grew up in rural Kentucky with her very close-knit family. Samantha was a likable child. She was outgoing. She was friendly. She was athletic. She is also described as stubborn sometimes. She certainly sounds like a girl we could all be friends with, doesn't she? Samantha went back and forth in the drug scene for a while as a teenager, until she finally went to rehab when she was 19 years old. When she got out, she was clean and sober and remained that way for almost 6 years. During this time, Samantha married and became a mom to 2 children. Samantha and her husband would separate, and Samantha would fall back into the drug scene. Was this the cause of the separation or a result of the separation? I can't say for sure, but it really doesn't matter. Because of her actions, Samantha would have to fight to keep custody of her 2 kids, something that wasn't looking too promising for her. Unless, that is, she straightened up and kicked her drug habit. Her family and friends still maintained hope that she would beat it. And they tried and tried to talk sense into her, but Samantha wasn't hearing it. They were not going to give up, however. After Samantha's separation from her husband, she contacted an old friend through Facebook Messenger, Ren Hendrickson. This was someone she had known growing up. He was a brother, actually, to one of Samantha's good friends. Pretty soon, Samantha and Ren began dating and quickly became inseparable. Ren Hendrickson's family, however, had a reputation in the area. Many of them had a long rap sheet that included felony charges of drugs, including possession, distribution, and manufacturing, and many of them also had several charges of burglary and theft. They were well known in the area, and not in a good way. Samantha's family was very, very worried about her. During this time, Samantha was living in Murray, Kentucky, and Ren was with her most of the time. Her family was still working diligently towards convincing Samantha to go back into rehab, but so far she was resisting. The disappearance. On March 27th, 2018, Samantha and her boyfriend, Ren Hendrickson, went over to his father's house on Tim Road in Simpsonia, Kentucky. Ren's father, Dusty Holder, was also well known to law enforcement, and also not in a good way. On that day, there was an alleged argument between Ren and Samantha, and Ren left the home, taking Samantha's car. Samantha also then took off into the woods surrounding the home, and Dusty, Ren's father, followed her on his four-wheeler. These accounts, by the way, of the timeline and of what happened were initially provided by Dusty himself. A little disclaimer, there is a bit of confusion with regard to the dates, so I will recap the timeline again after, but I know that it gets a little bit complicated. What Dusty alleges is that he found Samantha, and she got on the four-wheeler with him. They rode until they ran out of gas. And because this was supposedly late at night, both Samantha and Dusty decided to sleep in the woods next to the ATV to try to stay warm. They kept the ATV running to create any heat possible until it ran out of gas. Then he attempted to make a fire. In the morning, just after daybreak, they started walking towards the road. When they reached the highway, Highway 131, they split up. Dusty said Samantha wanted to walk towards her cousin's house nearby, but Dusty said he wanted to go to the nearby store to warm up and get something to eat. Dusty also described their appearance as being soaking wet and covered in mud. Now, Highway 131 is a main highway. It's well-traveled. It's a busy road. Meanwhile, Samantha's family tried to reach Samantha on and off all day. Despite their disapproval of her drug activity, they were still a close-knit family and they worried about her. And Samantha always stayed in contact with her family. There was never a day that went by when she didn't talk to someone. By that evening, the evening of March 28th, Samantha's mother, Tina, called Samantha's place of employment in a desperate attempt to talk to her daughter. They told her that Samantha was a no-show for her shift that day. This is something that had never happened before, and her mom was panicked. Where was her daughter? The next day, March 29th, Samantha's mom called the Graves County Sheriff's Department to report her daughter as missing. The search. Graves County Sheriff's Department took the call that Samantha was missing on March 29th, 2018. They declined to do anything about it at first, however, because Samantha was just a, quote, drug addict out on a binge, end quote. But Samantha's mom insisted this was not the case and her daughter might be in danger. Interestingly enough, the evening before, the evening of March 28th, Wren Hendrickson had also been reported as missing. Now, I guess law enforcement could have taken this either way. They could have realized that something was wrong here by the time they got Samantha's missing persons call, or they could have thought that the two were just off somewhere together. It was Wren's mother who had called 911 the evening of March 28th after she had received a disturbing FaceTime call from her son. He said that he had taken a bunch of pills and was going to go off into the woods and die. He told her that he was on the side of Doom's Chapel Road. Samantha was already missing by now, too, but no one had known this for certain yet. Authorities took the report on Wren, but they didn't go look for him that night. They knew his reputation in the area, and they had no interest in finding him in the dark if he had gone missing. There had been previous standoffs with police before, and they figured they would just wait until daylight. They would actually wait to search for both Wren and Samantha until March 30th, 2 days after Wren was reported missing and one full day after Samantha was reported missing. Law enforcement did obtain a story from Dusty about what happened the night of the 27th and the morning of the 28th. He stated that Samantha and Wren had a fight on the night of March 27th and that Wren left in Samantha's car. He then told the story of how Samantha and he ended up in the woods for the night. Detectives set off to search those woods and look for any clues they could. They were looking for not just Samantha and Wren, they were looking for the ATV that had broken down and run out of gas. They were looking for anything. They didn't find Samantha or Wren, but they did find the four-wheeler. Interestingly, it was noted that there was only one set of footprints around the ATV and leading away from it towards Highway 131. This was a wet, swampy area. Footprints were easily distinguishable. There should have been two sets of footprints. They also noticed that there was a campfire nearby. And Dusty had said that it was cold that night and he tried to get a fire going so they could stay warm. But he did say he struggled with that fire because everything was so wet. During the search of the campfire remnants, they found two partially burned cell phones. Immediately, authorities were alarmed by this. Why were there no signs of Samantha there at all? And if a spontaneous fire had been started at night to keep warm, why would someone spontaneously burn two cell phones? Both cell phones came back registered to Dusty. This area behind Tim Road and before Doom's Chapel Road is a swampy, wet area, especially in late March. It's an area known as Kaler Bottoms. Dusty told them that they started walking back home just as daylight broke. However, again, there were absolutely no signs that Samantha had even been there with Dusty. Now, Dusty's whole story was called into question. More red flags were discovered when Samantha's home in Murray, Kentucky was finally searched. Authorities searched her home on March 30th and found bloody clothes and blood on the ceiling. Now, there have been no further details released on this blood. Was it a lot of blood or was it just a couple of specks of blood? Was it Samantha's blood? Was it even enough blood to test? Was it tested? We just don't know. Samantha's car was now also found, abandoned on Doom's Chapel Road, where Wren said he was when he had FaceTimed his mom. On April 1st, 2018, authorities searched Kaler Bottoms again. On this day, Ren would actually walk out of the woods and be taken to the hospital, dehydrated, but otherwise okay. He had been missing for 5 days. Ren's story of what happened on March 27th and 28th is a bit different from Dusty's. And actually, his story would change a few different times as he admitted that he was pretty strung out on drugs during that time. Ren said that on March 27th, he took the car and went to Murray, leaving Samantha at Dusty's home. He does not mention that they had a fight, but again, he does admit to using drugs that day and having kind of a faulty memory. He left Samantha at the house with Dusty, and when he returned to the house on the 28th, Dusty told him that Samantha was missing. When Ren said he heard this, he became exceptionally upset and drove off, calling his mom during this time. This would be when he FaceTimed his mother. The car would be found abandoned on Doom's Chapel Road. A quick recap of events, because I know this story takes many twists and turns and is a little bit complicated. So let's run down the timeline. On March 27th, 2018, Ren and Samantha are at Dusty Holder's house on Tim Road in Simpsonia, Kentucky, in an area known as Kaler Bottoms. Ren leaves to go back to Murray, Kentucky, taking Samantha's car, but leaving her with Dusty. That evening, Dusty says that he and Samantha spent the night in the woods. On March 28th, Dusty and Samantha, according to Dusty anyways, walk out of the wooded area they spent the night in, leaving behind their ATV, which was out of gas. When they reached Highway 131, Samantha wanted to go one way to go towards her cousin's house. Dusty wanted to go the other way to go towards the store. They split up. Samantha does not take any calls from her family or friends that day and does not show up for her scheduled shift at work, something that had never happened before. Ren returns to his father's house and asks where Samantha is. When Dusty tells him that Samantha is missing, Ren panics and drives off, calling his mother on FaceTime. He is extremely distraught and tells his mom that he swallowed a bunch of pills and is going to walk off into the woods to die. Ren's mother calls 911 to report this to authorities, who decide to wait to search for Ren. The next day, March 29th, Samantha's family now calls authorities to report her missing. It won't be until March 30th that the first actual search for Samantha and Ren takes place around Kaler Bottoms. The ATV is found and the remnants of a campfire, but other than that, there is no evidence to support Dusty's story of Samantha being there with him. On this day, Samantha's home in Murray is also searched, and there were allegedly bloody clothes found and some blood on the ceiling. Authorities have declined to give any more details on this evidence. On April 1st, just after Samantha's car is found on Doom's Chapel Road, Ren walks out of the woods and is taken to the hospital. He is dehydrated, but he's otherwise okay. While his story is a bit different from his father's, there are still no clues as to where Samantha is. Some questionable things were learned during the search and investigation in those early few days. Only one set of footprints in and around the ATV, blood in Samantha's home, cell phones found in the campfire near the ATV, both phones registered to Dusty, and a little bit of mismatched story details between Ren and Dusty. There's also the question of why Ren reacted so strongly as he did when he learned Samantha was missing. It's understandable that one would be upset, but why wouldn't you just take off looking for Samantha? If you were so worried that she had gone missing, wouldn't you just go out there and try to find her? It had just been a day at this point. It seems an extreme overreaction from Ren if there was nothing else going on. Searches continued around Simpsonia with a focus on Kaler Bottoms, but law enforcement began to wonder if she was even there that day. Her official missing date also varies depending on which file you read. Technically, Dusty claims to have seen her the morning of March 28th, but many consider her missing on March 27th, which is the last day anyone else has seen her. There was an interesting turn of events on April 2nd. The search for Samantha took authorities to an area near Doom's Chapel Road and Bell Road, They went out there with canines and they were led to a certain location. There, they found an underground bunker, and inside the bunker was 41-year-old Ernest Hendrickson. I do not know if he is any relation to Wren Hendrickson. This is a man authorities had been looking for since November. He was wanted on several charges, including manufacturing methamphetamine, fleeing and evading authorities, possession of a firearm, and several other charges. He was taken in that day without incident. The search again turned up no signs of Samantha, however. Graves County, Kentucky. Most areas of focus for Samantha Sperry are taking place in Graves County, Kentucky, in a few different small town areas. Graves County is specifically located in the southwest corner of Kentucky. The population is just over 36,000 residents in the entire county. The county seat is Mayfield, Kentucky, which might sound familiar to you as a major tornado hit there in December of 2021. At first, it was believed that Samantha vanished from the Kaler Bottoms area of Graves County. Kaler Bottoms is an area of land just around 1,900 acres, owned and managed by the Kentucky Department of Fish and Wildlife. It is described as swampy, and statistics show that 91% of Kaler Bottoms is considered swamp or wetlands. This is the area where Samantha allegedly rode off on an ATV with her boyfriend's father, Dusty Holder. Samantha and Dusty allegedly walked out of this area and onto Highway 131 when they split up. The only problem, according to many people, is that this was in broad daylight, just after 7 a.m., and according to Dusty, they were both soaking wet, covered in mud, and quite the sight to see. Highway 131 was a busy highway, and it would have been in the middle of morning rush hour. Someone would have seen Samantha walking, but no one claimed to have seen a wet and muddy young woman walking down the side of the road. Another area of interest is Murray, Kentucky, where Samantha was living, and possibly Wren also. Wren claimed that he drove back to Murray that day in Samantha's car, but without Samantha, and he didn't return until the following day. There is also the odd blood evidence allegedly found in her apartment. Did something happen to Samantha there, and maybe she was never in Kaler Bottoms at all? Many people think that is very likely. Murray, Kentucky is about 30 miles away from Kaler Bottoms, about a 37-minute drive, according to Google Maps. The area is so sparse and rural. There are so many hiding areas. There's dense woods, there's creeks and rivers, and of course, swamplands. A fugitive was on the run for 5 months living out there in the wilderness before he was found. And honestly, if searchers weren't out there looking for Samantha with canines, he might not have been found at all. To the east, about a 30-minute drive, is Kentucky Lake. This lake is substantial and it covers over 160 acres. It's a popular destination for vacationers and boating enthusiasts. There is no evidence that Samantha had left the areas of Murray or Kaler Bottoms, but I guess there just isn't much evidence to go on at all. Sadly, at the end of 2023, Samantha's mother, Tina, passed away. Tina had continued to fight for answers on her daughter's whereabouts since 2018, and her extended family continues to fight for answers. What do you think happened to Samantha Sperry? Samantha is described as a Caucasian female, about 5'6" tall, and weighing around 120 pounds when she was last seen in March of 2018. She was 25 years old then and would today be 31. She has blonde hair and hazel eyes. She also has a few tattoos, including a rose with a skull on her right shoulder, two roses with the word rose on the right side of her lower abdomen, and a tiger lily and a sunflower on her left thigh. She was last believed to have been in the area of Simpsonia or Cailor Bottoms, Kentucky, but she was living in Murray, Kentucky. Anyone with any information on Samantha Sperry is asked to contact the Graves County Sheriff's Office at 270-247-4501. Thank you so much for listening to Samantha's story today. Samantha has many family members who continue to search for her, and she has left behind two children who ask daily where their mother is. Samantha has been missing for far too long. Please share her story, share her name, share her information any way you can, and let's help bring Samantha home. A big thank you again to Amber for suggesting Samantha's story. This is a solvable case if the right people can come forward. Somebody out there knows something. If you have a case suggestion for us, please reach out on social media or email me at canwefindthem@gmail.com. You can always find our contact information, as well as past episodes, over on our website at wherearethepodcast.com. If you've made it this far and would like to help our show reach more people, please consider leaving us a 5-star review on your podcast player of choice. You can also find our podcast on YouTube if you'd like a more visual look at the cases covered. Just search for the Where Are They podcast channel. A huge thank you once again to Christina for joining us over on Patreon this week. Your support is so greatly appreciated. We do share bonus episodes over there, as well as to our paid subscribers. Keep an eye out for those. As far as our main podcast shows, those will always remain completely free. Thank you again so much for listening to Samantha's story today. Keep an eye on our social medias. There we will share any updates or any case news as it comes in. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and X. All of those links will be in the show notes. We will be back again very soon with another unsolved missing person case. And until then, stay safe and hug your loved ones.